Since announcing your campaign for governor, what has the response been like?
Well, we've had a huge response. It's been very positive, a lot of energy. We announced last Wednesday night in Moorhead, Kentucky, Moorhead, Round County, Moorhead State University is a part of my legislative district. I serve as the minority leader in the Kentucky House. And so we made our announcement there last Wednesday night, and we had over 1,000 people that showed up for the announcement and the rollout. And ever since then, it has been nothing but positive energy all across Kentucky, messages, Facebook, all the social media has been very positive. So there's a lot of energy out there, a lot of encouragement out there, and I am humbled to be in this race, and I'm humbled by the support that I'm seeing all across Kentucky.
You've served in the state legislature for 30 years, representing a district in eastern Kentucky, but people on this side of the state might need some introduction. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and some legislation you've led the way on that you feel most proud about?
I am from a small rural eastern Kentucky community, Elliott County. Sandy Hook is the town seat. I was raised on the left-hand fork of Middle Fork on a small tobacco farm where I got a lot of my life lessons from, to be very honest. A grandfather that lived through the Great Depression that taught me a lot about hard work, along with my father and hanging the bottom rail of a tobacco barn, plowing behind mules and all that. That's a part of who I am. I was blessed to be raised by just unbelievable parents. My father, 50 years in public education, 39 in the classroom. He was a coach. He coached everything you could coach. He taught everything you could teach. My mother, 23 years as a preschool teacher and a clerk at the local IGA store there in Sandy Hook. I was able to graduate from Elliott County High School. I'm very blessed to have enough athletic ability to go to Moorhead State University, where I played my college basketball, and where I came to Murray State University many times to play in Old Racer Arena against Lamont Sleets and Hooker, Hood, Green, just unbelievable basketball, the OVC. So I got introduced to Murray State University earlier in my life, and I've been back many times before. I graduated from Moorhead with 2 degrees. I got a master's degree in secondary education. I'm a former school teacher myself and coach, and went into the private sector, and I've had the tremendous honor to serve in the Kentucky House now for many years, and some of the legislation and areas that I've served in, it's a tremendous honor for me to serve in all areas of the legislature, from Appropriations and Revenue Committee to being in leadership, the majority leader of the Kentucky House for 13 years. Legislation that I'm most proud of course, I'm a strong believer and defender of public education. This governor's attempt to disrespect public education at all levels and disrespect the education community, those that teach along with the public employees, is wrong. Public education will always be the key to how we do economically, whether we can recruit, retain jobs. But, you know, a couple of pieces of legislation in 2007, I was the prime sponsor of what was called Kentucky's Energy Independence National Leadership Act. That piece of legislation brought together folks from the coal, oil, natural gas industry to the agriculture industry. West Kentucky was very involved in this piece of legislation. It included renewable energies. It included energy efficiencies. It included the Energy Star construction of buildings built the way they need to be for energy efficiencies. This bill really surrounded itself around a strong STEM initiative of strong research and development, doing the research and development in all energy fields to try to attract the new energy technologies of the future to be built here in Kentucky. That piece of legislation was really driven by a company that was called Peabody that was talking about building a coal gasification plant here in West Kentucky. So we passed that legislation. It had a strong energy economic development incentive package in it. It had a strong research and development component. It included all of our universities, and one of my most proud days was the day I sat there at the committee table with that bill after I had negotiated for 3 years in a special session. I had Dr. Lee Todd from the academia community on one side of me, and I had Tom Fitzgerald, an environmental attorney, on the other side, and had all the different aspects from communities, from industrial, coal, agriculture, environmental, academia under one roof, and we passed that bill maybe with one vote against it in the House and in the Senate. It was a very bipartisan work that we were able to do. And, you know, from that bill, we focused a lot of attention with the Center for Applied Energy Research at the University of Kentucky. But we also created the Center for Renewable Energy and Environmental Stewardship at the Speed Engineering School at the University of Louisville, which is now called the Kahn Center, because after we passed that bill, a former professor by the name of Dr. Kahn, he contributed in gift because of that piece of legislation, $20 million to the Kahn Center now. It's called the Kahn Center there. The other piece of legislation I'm proud of was a piece of legislation called Kentucky Tourism Development Act. So Kentucky's Tourism Development Act was passed to try to draw destinations to come to Kentucky. That bill alone has created over $2 billion in private investment in Kentucky in destination tourism attractions. Some of those, when we passed that bill, the first groundbreaking was the aquarium in northern Kentucky in Newport. The second one was the Kentucky Speedway up in Sparta, where we got NASCAR races at now. The third one was back over to Newport-on-the-Levee in Newport. 4th Street Live, Owensboro has taken advantage of this legislation. And the latest group to take advantage of it has, in a very positive way, has been a place called the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, where our distilleries, our companies that are that make bourbon, basically have built their visitor centers. So when you go on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, you stop at a visitor center. They've used this legislation to help them build those visitor centers and created economic growth. It's created an attraction for people to come to Kentucky and spend their money while they're here. So that's two pieces of legislation that I'm very proud of. There's been many others, but to mention two, I'll mention those because I think they've helped make a difference for the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
You've described yourself as a very moderate, middle-of-the-road, common-sense Democrat. Can you elaborate on what this means?
Well, it means that I think that it's who I am. You know, where I'm from, it's how I was raised, that common sense usually gets best results, and I think we're away from that right now. I think we've got very radical views from this administration, this governor, when it comes to public education. When you talk about charter schools and trying to create privatized public education, I think it's wrong. When you look at how this governor has tried to privatize public pensions, I think he's wrong on that issue. I think public pensions, a promise made, is a promise that must be kept to our school teachers and our public employees, and try to break that inviolable contract is completely wrong. I think this governor has been very radical on his agenda when it comes to working families, passing legislation that I believe has driven down the wages of hardworking people, people that get up every day and grab a dinner bucket and a hard hat and a pair of steel-toed shoes. They go out and work hard. The legislation, in my opinion, is not good for working families across Kentucky. When it comes to health care, I think this governor trying to take 100,000 people off of health care is wrong. These are people working two and three jobs a day. I sit here as a 23-year cancer survivor today. I understand the importance of health care, quality health care. At the end of the day, if we're not looked at as a state that has strong public education and has quality health care, it's going to be hard for us to compete in the global economy when we're trying to get jobs to come to West Kentucky or come to rural parts of Kentucky or any part of Kentucky. But the other part about the health care issue that's not talked about is the impact that the health care industry has on our communities across Kentucky. Thousands of people work in the health care industry, whether they're a nurse or a physician assistant or a doctor or everything else in between. Those who work in the healthcare industry really has been, in many of our communities across Kentucky, the only economic growth we've seen, whether it's been capital construction or the hiring of new employees. The healthcare industry has been the only place where that has happened. So I have always tried my whole life, whether it was playing point guard for Morehead State University, to get the ball down the floor and do it in a common sense way. Our campaign is about trying to bring common sense back to the Commonwealth. I got an email the other day that was one of the most, I think, humbling emails I've gotten in a long time that sums up who I am. And they said, Rocky, you are a common man who can bring back common sense to the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. The reason I got in this race is because of encouragement across Kentucky, from Pikeville to Paducah. I traveled this state extensively for the last several months trying to help our candidates across Kentucky. And as I traveled, I had people approach me and say, Rocky, you've got to run for governor. You know, you talk to people. People feel like they can connect with you. You know Kentucky. You understand Kentucky. You are Kentucky. You've got to run. You know how to work across party aisles with Democrats and Republicans. You've got the seasoned experience and the proven leadership to be a governor that can make government work again for communities across Kentucky. So as I started analyzing that and listening to it, the last thing that they told me, because of this governor's agenda, because of his disrespect for certain groups of people across Kentucky, like teachers, public employees, members of organized labor or working families, they would look at me and they would tell me, Rocky, you are the candidate. You are the person that can bring back respect and dignity to the governor's office of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So along with that, along with the difference of opinion that I have on his agenda, this governor versus mine, drove me to get in this race. And I think most people that know me, some that don't, after they hear me speak the first time, will tell you I am a common man. And I am trying to bring common sense back to the Commonwealth to make government work again across communities. Let me just say this. You know, I'm one that believes that the best ideas don't come out of Frankfort, Kentucky or Washington, D.C. The best ideas come from the local level, local people who work in this community and others, in West Kentucky to East Kentucky and all points in between. That's where the best ideas come. And a Rocky Adkins administration, if I become governor, will be that kind of governor. We'll bring Frankfort to Murray, Kentucky, and to West Kentucky, and to the river counties. We will bring Frankfort to a place where many people feel like that Frankfort has forgotten about them, like many do in eastern Kentucky and many do in western Kentucky. So it would be my goal as a governor not to have people come to Frankfort unless they want to come. They'd be more than welcome, but to make government work in areas where they think they've been forgotten, to make Frankfort their state government, where they pay their taxes, work in communities and listen to communities and try to build the ideas that local communities have and take those to Frankfort and try to make them happen. That's the common sense I'd like to see back in our state government, and that's the common sense I'd like to bring back to this Commonwealth.
People looking at their options for governor in 2019, they see Map Evan on the Republican side. But before the general, there's a primary. What sets you apart from Attorney General Andy Beshear and potentially other candidates who might enter?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that set me apart. Number one, without question, I have the experience and the proven leadership. I've been there in the trenches. I understand what needs to happen to make government work for people across Kentucky and to make government work again for communities across Kentucky. I think the other thing that sets me apart, I have the ability to work across party aisles. I have proven that as majority leader of the House, and I have proven that as the Democratic leader. When I disagree, you know, I express that. I am the loyal opposition when I need to be, but I am the person that can reach across party aisles, as I did with that piece of legislation, Kentucky's Energy Independence National Leadership Act. The other thing I think that sets me apart is that I believe that I'm that candidate that people can connect with. I am that candidate that's proven time and time again that when it comes to policy issues, that I believe I know the policy issues that it takes to move Kentucky forward. But the last thing that I'd like to say is I believe I'm the Democrat that can win in November. I think I'm the Democrat that can win back Democrats that we've been losing in rural Kentucky, eastern and western Kentucky, Democrats that have been voting Republican. I think I am that Democrat that can build that bridge to win in November. So what sets me apart is I'm the Democrat that can win in November because I can not only run well in rural Kentucky, I'll run well in all parts of Kentucky.
This part of the state saw two House seats flip Republican, and Republicans elected in 2016 kept their seats with a red wall rather than a blue wave. How do Democrats come back from their losses in this state?
Well, you know, even though West Kentucky didn't perform the way we wanted it to, there were certain areas of the state that did perform well. If you look at East Kentucky, we won back three seats that we lost in 2016 that we had lost. We won those back in this last election cycle. If you look in the suburban areas of Kentucky, you will see where we won some seats back, captured seats that we didn't think we might have a chance in the suburban areas of Kentucky. We did pick up two seats. We didn't do as well as we wanted to overall, but there were really some very bright spots. I'll tell you what I enjoyed really about this last election. I saw some of our candidates before I came to see you today, and I hugged them and shook their hand and told them how proud I was of them. They worked hard. They gave it all they had. You know, they did everything you're have to do to try to win an election. They met people. They went door to door. They done everything that they could do. So I'm proud of them. They gave it all they had. It's kind of like when I came to race their arena, you know, and sometimes I would go out there not with success, but I knew I gave it all I had. I left it all on the court, and these candidates done that. So to tell you, even though we didn't achieve in some areas, we did in others during this election cycle. Did we do all we wanted needed to do? No, we didn't. But here's how we get back on the right track. We keep that energy that you saw during this last election cycle. We keep that energy of the education community, public employees, and working families. We keep that energy of engagement of people who had never been involved in a campaign before, who came out the first time and was involved because they saw it didn't matter who's sitting those seats in Frankfort, Kentucky. So how we continue that is in 2019. In 2019, I entered this race to win it. I'm in it to win it. And it's going to be imperative going into November that there's a candidate that can win in November, and I am that candidate. People will tell you the one guy that's in this race and the one that will probably be in this race when it's all said and done that can run well in rural parts of the state is Rocky Adkins. But he'll also run well in urban parts of the state, but he is the one candidate that will win back those Democratic votes we've been losing in November. So I would just tell you that the critical part of this is winning back the governor's office. And if we're able to win back this governor's office, then we can start on a path forward to do the things that we need to do to restructure, rebuild, continue to build the party, recruit quality candidates as we had in this last election cycle, and pick up that momentum that's needed going into 2020.
Looking back to some presidential campaign rallies in 2016, there was much enthusiasm in this part of the state for Bernie Sanders and not so much for Hillary Clinton. Sanders won most of the state's rural counties in that primary. Is moderation a winning strategy, or does there have to be more? And how do you plan on reaching that energized progressive Democrat?
Well, you know, being a former point guard, being a former teacher, being a former coach, I think I understand how to energize people. How to motivate people, how to connect with people. I think my message is that common sense message that people can relate to. I think I'm the candidate since my announcement that people have been coming to of all walks of life, and saying, you know, Rocky, we're going to be for you. We like your message. We like what you're saying about public education. We like what you're saying about working families. We like the way that we can approach you and talk to you. We like that you know and understand Kentucky. You are Kentucky. So I think that is the approach that's got to be taken as we move forward. So I think it's more about a message. It's more about the individual. Who can people connect with? I don't think people ever connected with Hillary Clinton, to be very honest with you. I don't think they were ever able to feel like that she was like them or would be a part of what they were for or what they were against. So there's a part of being able to go to communities like we are today. You know, we started in Paducah, Kentucky this morning at 10 o'clock with a meet and greet. We're here in Murray, Kentucky right now where we had 75, 80 people for a meet and greet. We're going to Hopkinsville tonight where we're going to be doing the same. Tomorrow morning we'll start in Owensboro. We'll go from there to Bowling Green and then back to Elizabethtown. So part of being able to energize, part of being able to mobilize is building trust in people that, you know, I like that guy. I enjoy what he's saying. He's got a message. I trust him. So being able to be that person that people like, people feel like they can approach, people feel like they can connect with, and from my past experience and leadership that people have watched, they understand I've got a backbone and I'll stand up and fight for them. And people in rural Kentucky here in West Kentucky, they know when I say something, most that know me, believe it. Those that don't know me are going to get to know me over this next weeks and months ahead.
Will you align with or distance yourself from the National Democratic Party platform, which seems to have skewed more progressive?
Look, I don't read platforms. I really don't. I don't read platforms. I couldn't tell you what's on that platform. I'll be very honest with you. What I can tell you is that I am a Kentucky Democrat. Matter of fact, I'm a left-hand fork, a middle fork, Elliott County, Kentucky Democrat. The Democrat Party that I was built in was built on public education. It was built on the backs of working families. It was built on a party that stood up and fought for good wages. It stood up and fought to build the infrastructure of this nation that you and I still enjoy. It is a party that fought for certain programs like Social Security and some other things that people still enjoy today. You know, that's the Democrat Party I was built. I was raised in the Democrat Party with a grandfather that lived through the Great Depression, that ate soup, beans, 3 meals a day to stay alive. My dad said, "Rocky, we didn't know we were poor because everybody else was poor." That's the Democrat Party. My grandfather, finally, after working way before daylight to way after dark to try to feed his family, a guy who worked like a barred mule, a guy who was an old fox hunter that, you know, would give you the shirt off of his back, a guy who finally was able to join a laborers union and work up in Fairborn, Ohio, come home on the weekends and have enough money in his pocket from good wages to finally feed his family and put a roof over his head, and then after time was able to retire with a pension and benefits. That's the Democrat Party I belong to, and that's the Democrat Party I'm going to fight for.
For some voters, their decision on who to vote for comes down to a single issue. One of the most polarizing issues, one I imagine most people hope doesn't come up at the Thanksgiving dinner table, is abortion. For Democrats in rural areas, this is especially thorny of an issue. What is your position on that?
Well, I have a record. I'm pro-life. I'm a pro-life Democrat. I also think that my belief goes further than that, that after these babies are born, we ought to take care of them. And we ought to make sure that they have enough food to eat, and we ought to make sure that they're raised in a comfortable home. And so while I'm a pro-life Democrat, I'm also a Democrat that believes that after these children are born into somewhat tough conditions sometime, we need to make sure we take care of those babies and those children as we move forward in their lives and make sure that they have the hope and opportunity that they deserve.
Another issue, the Clean Power Plan. How do you feel about the Clean Power Plan?
I've never been a big supporter of the Clean Power Plan. I really haven't. I don't think it's been good for the economy of this nation. But let me just add to that, though. You know, I think that we need to try to produce energy in a clean manner. With the natural resources we have, that's the reason this bill I talked to you about, it really moved forward with research and development. You know, how can we mine? How can we burn coal cleaner? The natural gas industry producing a lot of the electricity now. How can we use our ag industry not only to feed the world but to power the world as well? So here's what I believe. You know, when the Clean Air Act was passed, the Clean Air Act actually had some flexibility and common sense built into it. The Clean Air Act actually said, look, here's the policy that we put forth, but we're not going to implement this policy until the technology is there to do it. We want to make sure that we can make the modifications we need to make at our powerhouses, our energy infrastructure, to make sure we can implement this policy. We don't want to hurt one industry over another. We want to make sure as we move forward with the Clean Air Act that we are able to make these modifications when these technologies come on board. And we did that with the Clean Air Act. Matter of fact, when the Clean Air Act passed 30 years later, because of the technology that had been moved forward and developed to control SOx, NOx, and mercury, we took over 85% of the pollutants out of burning coal by putting scrubbers on power plants over that 30 years because we used common sense and we used flexibility to allow technologies to come on board. You cannot implement a policy if you get the policy out in front of the technology. In my opinion, that's what the Clean Power Plan did. It hurt many regions of our country with the coal industry. We were making great advancements on technology to burn coal cleaner, and I believe that we've made a big mistake by tearing down a lot of these power plants, the infrastructure we're going to need in the future. Look, to be able to build an industrial manufacturing sector, you've got to have low-cost energy. And if you don't have low-cost energy, then you're not going to have that industrial manufacturing sector. While I am one for the advancement of research and development, very much, but I'm for that research and development and that policy that's passed to make sure we don't get the policy in front of the technology to where it doesn't have a negative impact on the economy of our regions of Kentucky, but has a positive impact as well. Scrubbers have put thousands of people to work putting on these technologies. Construction workers, building tradespeople that live in West Kentucky have done that. I believe that we need all forms of energy as we move forward. But the key to being able to recruit industry into our communities will continue to be low cost. We're mining coal cleaner and safer today than we ever have, and we're burning it cleaner and safer than we ever have in the history of time. So we need to continue with research and development in clean coal. We need to continue looking at energy efficiency. We need to continue to look at renewable energies. We need to continue to do all those things in all different sectors. But we do not need policy that puts the policy out in front of the technology, which ends up having a negative impact on our communities, on our region, and our advantage to be a competitive state in recruiting the jobs we're going to need in the future.
What are your objectives should you win the seat of governor? And what do you see as the biggest issues affecting the state?
Well, I mean, there's some critical issues out there, and you always start with public education. I think it's key that public education is key, that if we're going to have the economies create the jobs we want in the future, the types of jobs our people need and deserve, we got to be looked at as a world-class education system from preschool all the way through post-secondary education. Murray State University plays a critical role in this region in training and educating the workforce of the future. Our Kentucky Community Technical College system plays that same role of making sure we have a qualified workforce out there that is highly skilled, highly trained. Investment in infrastructure is going to continue to be key with me. I think that we've got to have a 21st century infrastructure in place, not only maintaining what we already have, but roads and bridges, water and sewer, making sure those are up to par and can handle what we need for the future. River ports, regional airports, a strong railway system in Kentucky is going to continue to be important. There's no question about that. We've got an opportunity to continue with workforce development in Kentucky to make sure that we build this infrastructure, to make sure it relates to public education, and to make sure that we have that trained, skilled workforce for the future. Here we sit today, our number one export industry in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. It's not tobacco, it's not coal, it's not cars, and not bourbon. Our number one export industry in the Commonwealth of Kentucky is the aerospace industry. The aerospace industry ranks only second to Washington State and the pieces and parts we build in Kentucky to build airplanes and rockets around the world, an $11.7 billion export industry. Here we sit with an industry that's going to need 350 to 500,000 employees over the next 15 to 20 years, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, GE, to name a few. Well, where are they going to locate? Well, I think they're going to locate wherever that workforce is being trained, and they're being trained here in Kentucky at our universities, at our community technical colleges. We got the greatest workforce in the world. And when you look at places like the Space Science Center at Morehead State University, one of five programs in the whole U.S., graduating those individuals with master's degrees in aerospace engineering, the aviation school at Eastern Kentucky University, the pilots that's going to be needed, a place in Lexington called Space Tango that's doing unbelievable research and development, sending satellites on the rockets, SpaceX or NASA, with research in it with cancer cells and chemo medicine, to the Exo Medicine Lab on the International Space Station to see how the cancer medicine reacts to the cancer cells at zero gravity. I mean, that's the 21st century economy I'm talking about. That is the 21st century workforce that I think we have to have. But that is the area, that is the vision, that is the agenda I think we have to have for rural Kentucky. Our people need good jobs. Our people need hope and opportunity throughout Kentucky, but especially in areas where we see our economy struggling, where we see people losing jobs and having to move, and depopulation of our regions, that has to end. That's the reason the Rocky Adkins administration as governor will bring Frankfort, Kentucky to West Kentucky to work on the ground and in the trenches to see how we can rebuild economies in a 21st century economy with a 21st century workforce. I think we can make that happen.
There's a legislative session coming up. What are some common ground issues you'd like to see accomplished?
Well, I think common ground issues, we all in communities across Kentucky face the same issue with the opioid addiction, the scourge that we're seeing on our communities with opioid addiction, opioid abuse. And we got to continue to make ground in that area. These are people raised in good families for the most part. These are people that were raised, my neighbors, maybe some of your family, my family. There's not a family in Kentucky that's not been impacted by this issue. You know, this is a scourge, but it's more than that. It's a Kentucky crisis. It's a national crisis, to be very honest with you. And we got to do more, and that is a place where we can reach across the aisle, where we can work together, where we have to work together to help make our communities be a better place? How can we move these individuals that you knew in high school and that I knew in high school, how can we move them into treatment and make them productive citizens again? How can we continue to be hard on crime to get drug pushers off the street but have the compassion to move some of these people into rehabilitation facilities where they can be recovered from the addiction sickness that they've got? So that's continuing to be a big issue across Kentucky. It doesn't matter if you live in rural Kentucky or urban Kentucky. It's an issue that's affected all of us. And I think that we have made some progress, but we got to continue to work on that issue and do better together as we move forward.
Gubernatorial candidate, House Minority Floor Leader, Representative Rocky Adkins, thank you for your time.
I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.